There we go.
Should you put on your mic sock?
My mic sock needs to be cleaned.
Yeah, they're kind of gross.
Pretty, because I don't normally use a mic sock, but this one, so it's gathered a lot of dust and lint over the time.
You know the big foamy things you see on microphones, sometimes on TV? That's a mic sock.
Yeah, it's supposed to stop you from popping your peas when you talk right into the microphone.
I'm a professional broadcaster, and I don't use one, so I don't pop my peas ever.
But I have to talk really close to this particular microphone, so I put the sock on.
Sorry I spit all over you during a pandemic. Is there a worse time for you to encounter a spit talker than during a pandemic?
No.
Like, yeah. Especially when the sun's shining at just the right angle and you see it just raining down across the room on you.
There was a guy, I was walking my dog this past Friday out at a dog park. He wasn't near me, but this guy was blowing snot rockets.
Oh, like,
and like
the, where you pinch one nostril and
yeah, you're trying to clean house on the other.
Oh.
And he was not subtle about it. It was loud. It was like a lawnmower in his face. He was just trying, he was burning calories trying to clean out his nose. And it was right into like a grassy area where people walk and dogs walk, and it's like,
yeah, your dog comes back with snot all over him. Oh.
Like, is there not a better, in general, when times are good, don't be blowing snot rockets where people are walking, but let alone during a pandemic.
There's only two things that I can't do. I can do everything except for two things. I can't whistle with my fingers. You know how people do that?
Oh, yes.
That whistle. I wish I could. And I can't blow a snot rocket. And I don't know, like, would it be cool to be able to do that? And if I could, it's like, it's not like I would do that around other people.
I don't know that it would. And just the, if it goes sideways and you don't get it all out and then it's just hanging on your face, there's no walking that off.
Ooh.
You can't brush that one off.
Might as well turn this podcast off now because it's not getting any better. A lawn chair is a good time chair, but you're aware of that. It falls down to half the size so you can lay it flat. I can watch the world go by and live without a care. I've never had a bad time in my old lawn chair. Welcome to the Lawn Chair Prophets. I'm Garner Andrews. That's Bryce Kelly sitting right over there. Not only do we do this super lucrative podcast that we make so much money off of.
Yeah, this professional grade, high quality snot rocket talk.
But we also, we do a radio morning show in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Perhaps you've been here before. Perhaps you're a big fan of our mall, the mall that used to be the biggest shopping mall in the world, but I don't think it is anymore.
I don't think it is. It might be the biggest in North America.
Yeah. Maybe you're a fan of our hockey team, the Edmonton Oilers. They play NHL hockey. That's pro hockey.
Yeah, that's the highest level.
Actually, we've got a hockey connection on the show this week, too. We'll get to that in a little bit. Anyway, we were talking, you and I, about what level of pandemic boredom are you at? Like, there's not, where we are right now and at this time as we record this, the rest of the world is starting to come out of the pandemic. People are going to hockey games again. People are going to baseball matches because that's what those are called. We're still heavily locked down where we are, and there's not a lot to do.
Yeah, you can't eat at a restaurant. You can't sit on a patio right now. It's a little bleak. It's trying times, and it's 14 months in.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, I'm at a point where, like, I can't even look at the Netflix screen anymore because I'm bored just looking at that.
Yeah, because I know I'm going to waste 90 minutes of my life trying to find something to watch, and inevitably I'll just walk away or watch something I've already watched 25 times.
Yeah, no Netflix. I'm not going to watch The Hunger Games.
No.
Why would you suggesting it to me.
Why don't you think, am I giving off Hunger Games vibe?
I don't want to watch it.
And I made the mistake, too, of I was at home, and this is actually how we started talking about this, is that I was sitting on the couch, my wife was in the kitchen, and I said, I've never said this in my life. I said, I'm so bored. And then I just heard her quietly set something down on the kitchen counter. And then she goes, I could give you something to do. And I got mad. Like, I didn't yell at her or anything. I maybe stormed out of the room and said, I'm not looking for chores.
Yeah, her idea was to make you vacuum or something like that.
Yeah, and which I'm glad to contribute. I'm glad to, and I do a lot of things around the house. I really do. But in that particular moment, me saying I'm bored was a cry for help. That was me saying, I miss my friends. I miss going out for dinner with you. I miss going to a movie with you. I'm lonely. That's what that I'm bored was.
Yeah. You're not fulfilled.
Exactly.
Vacuuming doesn't fulfill you.
Yeah. And I will eventually fix that board in the fence, but that's not what I meant by I'm bored.
Yeah. No, we need something. We need to be stimulated. We're at a point now where everything is just the same color of beige.
Yeah. We did get this text and he did send pictures. This is spectacular. It says, I've been so bored for a while that I decided to follow a passion of mine and I started creating my own shoes. I bought a used heavy-duty sewing machine, took some leather lessons when we were allowed to see people, and my first pair of derbies is well underway. This is from a guy named Harley, and he did send us pictures of his little sewing machine set up in his unfinished basement where he's making leather shoes.
I would never have even thought of that as a thing to do to pass the time, is to create my own shoes.
Yeah, I've never really given any thought. Where does a shoe come from? I know that it's a kid somewhere on the planet that's making that shoe. But like nobody is just sitting in their basement in this city making shoes.
No.
Except for Harley.
It's not a thing I would think people do in their spare time, but
yeah.
It's very cool. I feel like if I tried to make shoes, I would get from my house to my car and they would just disintegrate.
Yeah, because you'd probably just staple a Wonder Bread bag to a 2x4, like a block of 2x4, and call it a shoe. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, but his are like legitimate,
yeah,
like fancy dress shoes.
I wish we had a Facebook page, because we're saving up for one because they're really, really expensive. Because then if we had a Lawn Chair Profits Facebook, we could post the picture of Harley's shoes. Maybe one day when we have enough money to get a Facebook page, we'll do that.
It's pretty cool, though. I need a hobby like that.
Somebody else says, I've been making homemade yogurt, granola, homemade popsicles, baking, and soap. Well, all of those things, that's great to make at home except for the yogurt. That's gross.
Homemade yogurt. Yeah. I don't know.
You know what I did? I bought myself the pincher things for picking up garbage.
Oh, yeah. You know,
and they're too short. Like, they're not long. So I still kind of have to bend down a little bit. But I've been going on walks, picking up a few pieces of garbage here and there. That's fun.
You know who else does that? Prisoners. Chain gangs.
I'm a prisoner of my own boredom. So.
Ooh, that was deep.
It was. Man. But yeah, like, I've been going out picking up trash. I go for a walk every day anyway. But it's weird when you're out for a walk and people just see you walking around carrying those garbage pinchers and you're nowhere near a place that would have garbage scattered all about. Like, do they think that I'm the caretaker of that office building over there? Wow, he dresses poorly. Are those steel-toed runners? No.
I have never once in my life considered picking up other people's garbage. Does that make me a bad person?
Kind of does.
Huh.
Let's grab a call here. Hello?
Good morning, Garner. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. Listening to these stories, it is making for a wonderful ride to the office.
Are you inspired to start picking up litter in your neighborhood or making your own butter?
Maybe not butter, but I definitely like the litter part. I'm against littering. It's awful. The idea of hearing more and more people picking up to beautify the city makes me happy and warm and fuzzy feelings inside.
I have a feeling, here's my dream, well, maybe it'll happen, that so many people will get into picking up litter that if you wait too late in the day, there won't be any litter left for you to pick up.
The early bird gets the Tim Hortons cup.
Yeah. Well, you know the old saying, yeah, the early bird catches the cigarette package. Yeah.
Good.
I got to go out after. I got to replace my garbage pincher picker-upper things. Mine are really crappy. But somebody said Princess Auto has good ones.
Oh, they have good stuff in general. So I could see how they might have some sort of industrial-sized grabber.
Do you think that's a possibility that one day trash picking up during the pandemic will be so popular that there won't be, like, it'd be like fishing. If you don't get there on time, all the fish are gone.
All the good ditches are spoken for.
Yeah. Somebody's telling me that there are two different kinds of garbage pinchers. Well, they're not garbage, but one is for, okay, the ones that I probably bought are for just reaching stuff off of a shelf. Or if you're a senior and you drop your remote on the floor, you can keep that in the pocket on the side of your lazy boy. And then you can reach your remote off the floor. Mine's not a real garbage picker upper.
What's the reaction been like from your family?
Oh, they're horrified by it. Like my daughters, I have teenage daughters. There is nothing I can do that they think is cool. And now they see me leaving the house with my garbage pinchers. Whatever you do, Dad, don't post pictures of yourself picking up garbage. That's lame.
But is it? I think we're finding out that maybe it's not. Maybe you're just ahead of the curve.
Oh, I think so. Should we grab another one here? Pandemic boredom. Hi.
Calling in to talk about boredom the pandemic.
Yeah, what level of boredom are you at?
Oh, I'm right up there. I've been out driving around since 4:30 this morning. I'm out on logging roads west of Lodgepole just for something to do.
Not working? This is leisure driving?
This is leisure driving. I've watched Netflix till my eyes bled, and I've got a million projects at home that I go outside to get them started, and then I decide, no, I just have a really hard time doing anything.
I think that it's, and not judging or anything, but I think it's depression. Like, we're all feeling depressed now, and one of the symptoms of depression is just not finishing projects, losing interest in projects, just that feeling of being lost all the time. And I struggle with this. I suffer from the same thing.
Yeah.
That right there is just, that's some low-grade depression. That's what that is. Just driving aimlessly. You got all these half-started, half-finished projects. That guy just basically described my life, because I do just drive around aimlessly in the middle of the night before I come to work.
That's how I spend my Fridays and Saturdays typically right now, is I drive around the city to the point that this is a safe place.
No.
I kind of felt like a creep where, was it this past weekend? In the last couple weeks, I was driving around admiring some beautiful homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of went like, wait a minute, I think I know what area of the town. Because I do that thing where I'm like, I just turn left and right. And like, I don't really pay attention where I'm going. I just end up. And I'm in this area. I think I know where I am. And I believe I was in the area where Connor McDavid lives.
Do you mean the highest paid player in the NHL?
Yeah. The guy who's going to win the Hart Trophy this year.
That guy?
MVP? Him. Huh. I've heard a whisper in the wind of where he lives. I don't know for sure. But I've heard rumor of where his house is. And so I decided to do a drive-by. Beautiful area. Holy cow.
But there's more to this story, Bryce.
And so I round the corner, and I see what I believe is his house. It's quite distinctive from what I've been told. So I see it, and I'm like, oh my. I'm driving past, the garage door closing.
Ooh, it's going down.
Yeah. So I saw a quick glimpse into the garage. Looked very clean.
Mm.
And I'm driving past, and it was at that point of day where the sun has just starting to go down.
So hang on a second. You're stalking an NHL superstar
under
the cover of darkness.
And he hadn't closed his blinds at the front of his house yet.
This is getting creepier and creepier.
And I saw what I believe was Connor McDavid in his house. And I just went like, oh my God, that's Connor McDavid.
So what, you sat there for 45 minutes?
No, I sped away quickly. Because then I had it in my head that he probably has cameras and is watching me drive past, and he knows that I don't belong in that neighborhood.
He totally sees people driving by his house all day long.
He would think.
He would. And I'll bet you there are people who are just brazen. They'll walk right up to his door when he knows the team is in town, ring his doorbell, and ask him to come out and sign their hockey card.
Ooh, that would drive me crazy.
Oh, I bet you it goes that far, because some people have no boundaries, Bryce.
Big house. And ooh, some of his neighbors have some beautiful mid-century moderns.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I drive around and look at houses that I can never afford.
Somebody says, I bought a rebounder off of Facebook Marketplace and then Googled YouTube rebounder workout videos. Don't mock me. My calves and butt are getting so tight.
What's a rebounder?
I think it's one of those little mini trampoline things that your mom used to bounce on.
That look like they're going to be super fun, but you can only bounce like 8 inches off the top of it.
Yeah, and you can't do that butt drop thing where you land on your ass and then bounce back up again. You could try once, probably end up in a wheelchair.
Hard to pull sick flips on a rebounder.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people saying they're playing more video games than they ever have in their life.
I've dabbled in that again.
Have you? What do you have for a system?
I have a PlayStation 4.
Oh, the kind the forefathers of this country had?
Yeah, when they were in a horse and buggy going coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I actually read a thing that said, because we've had the coronavirus. Yeah. And one of the long-term effects is this brain fog that I still have.
Yeah, well, so do I.
I find when I'm texting people, I just miss words. A lot of words missing from sentences. And I read that video games help with the brain fog.
Do you think that we caught dumb when we had COVID?
I don't think that it's a brain fog. I think it's cleared the fog and my true dumbness is now exposed.
Oh. Hmm. I don't know if I should be afraid. Like, I feel like I shaved a few IQ points when I was in my basement for those 10 days or whatever it was.
Well, a lot of TV watching.
Oh. Let's grab one more phone call here. Hi.
Oh, hi there. I'm just calling in about your boredom.
Yeah. Are you bored?
Well, what's happened to me is I've kind of dove into like this obsessive compulsive sort of addiction with crafting. So I've been a massage therapist for 13 years and I've never had any tendonitis or anything, but the amount of macrameing I'm doing, I can hardly bend and open my elbow right now.
That, from somebody who does massage therapy, I thought that most massage therapy careers ended because of arthritis, not from macrame.
No, all macrame, a little bit of cross stitch in there, and like obsessive, like up till 2 a.m. trying to macrame the shit out of everything like my grandma did.
Yeah, macrame the shit out of everything.
That's right.
I hope you have that bumper sticker on your car.
I'm getting it made.
Yeah. Maybe you could make it yourself.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I could macrame my whole car.
That will be my motto in life now. Macrame the S out of everything.
Beautiful. I'm going to get that neck tattoo.
We only got two chairs, but maybe if you ask nice, you can sit on Bryce's lap. It's the Lawn Chair Profits.
We were talking the other day about getting the whole thing to yourself. And by that, I mean, could be a movie theater. It could be a grocery store. It could be a commercial jet. And you're the only person on there. I've never had that luxury of having an entire commercial jet to myself. Although I think it would be a thrill. Or it might be creepy. I don't know.
It might be creepy. Just because it would be amazing at first. But once that thing takes off, I feel like it would be so empty. You would hear every creak and groan.
Yeah.
From the plane, and it would be unnerving.
The flight crew calling you by your first name, or maybe they give you a nickname. Maybe they call you Dunkaroo.
Oh, I like that.
Dunkaroo. Want to come up front, say hi to the pilot?
Then I'd feel like I'd be super served, and they would always feel like they have to entertain me.
And I would be like, you don't have to entertain me. As a matter of fact, this is starting to become obnoxious.
What are the odds, too, that I'd be the only person on the plane? I ask for the full can of Coke. And they deny me and give me just the cup.
Yeah. They need to, you know where the flight attendants on a flight too. Remember when we used to fly places?
Oh, I miss it.
Remember you'd be on a long flight and eventually you'd go to the bathroom at the back and you'd see a row of seats and you would just see a flight attendant and he or she would be sitting in there by themselves reading a magazine. It's like they're on a break. It's weird to see. You deserve a break. You should get a break, but there should be a break room. There should be a curtain or something you can go sit behind. And I'm thinking more for you, the flight attendant, because I guarantee you, you're sitting there trying to read in style on your break and people are coming up to you asking you, could I get half a can of Diet Coke?
Yeah. Can I get some tomato juice?
It's the only place in the world people still drink tomato juice is on a flight.
I didn't know why. There's some science behind it. It has something to do with upset stomach.
Oh, maybe.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. I see people drinking tomato juice left and right on flights. And I'm like, where? What? How come I never see you I don't see you in a restaurant ordering a tomato juice.
No, when I'm in the grocery store, the tomato juice section is never empty.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if I ever need to go into hiding because I don't know, I snitched on the mob or something like that. That's where I will hide. I will hide in the tomato juice aisle at the grocery store or that gourmet olive stand, because you never see anyone at the gourmet olive stand or in the tomato juice aisle. That'll be my hideout. I probably shouldn't have said that in the podcast.
No, you kind of gave that one away.
Yeah. This text, when it came in, you and I both almost lost our ass. It says, many moons ago, me and the girl I was dating had the whole movie theater to ourselves. Unfortunately, it was Evan Almighty, which may be the reason why we had the whole theater to ourselves, but we still walked out halfway through the movie. Matthew.
That infuriates me.
It does not matter what movie is showing. When you do accomplish that task, when you hit that milestone of getting a movie theater yourself, you sit through the whole thing. Doesn't matter what it is.
The biggest dream I have in my life is to get a movie to myself. And based on the hours we work, I often go to a lot of matinees by myself. And I've yet to fulfill that dream.
Have I ever told you about the one or two times that I did fulfill that dream, Bryce?
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it stings every time. So to think that there's someone out there who lived my dream and threw it away halfway through makes me so mad. The very least you could have done is just turn that into a smooch session.
Yeah.
You and your better half.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Matthew and the girl, I think he wrote back again after we scoffed at him on the radio show, and he said that they didn't have a future anyway. So I don't think there would have been any smooching.
Well, he certainly threw that away when she probably wanted to stay and smooch, and he's like, let's get out of here. This movie stinks.
But we have the whole theater to ourselves, Matthew.
Yeah.
Don't care. I hate this movie, Evan Almighty.
Just throwing it away. It'd be like finding a $100 bill on the ground and throwing it in the garbage.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Let's grab a call here. Hello.
Hey, you guys are talking about getting movie theaters to yourself?
Yeah, movie theaters, airplanes, trains, the trophy room at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, whatever.
Well, tell your friend that he's not the only one who hasn't had it to himself. Twice, I've been with my family, and we're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be all to ourselves. There's nobody here. The credits are rolling. And then just as the movie starts, another family comes strolling in.
And then you spend the entire movie just seething. You can't even enjoy the film.
Oh, I was just ready to walk out right there.
What is with those people that can't arrive at a movie until the movie is started? Like, they give you false hope. They give you, even if you don't have the whole theater to yourself, but there's a buffer seat on both sides, and then they come in late, you got there early to get a good seat, and now they're there in your space? Start showing up on time, people.
The number of times that's happened, I've had that ripped away from me where I thought I had the theater to myself, and then someone shows up during the trailers, during the previews.
Yeah.
And I never get more angry in my life. It ruins movies for me.
You spend the whole movie plotting your revenge. It just becomes, you go into this, you sink down to this deep, deep hole where you're just thinking dark, dark thoughts about what you're going to do to the person who came in and destroy. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know. I shouldn't be talking this way. You're more than welcome in this movie theater that I had to myself.
Oh, good. People are here.
Yeah. Could you come sit right in front of me too, so that I can hear you eat popcorn in this otherwise empty movie theater?
I would use the opportunity to, every 5 minutes or so, I'd move seats to try and find the perfect seat.
That's what Matthew could have done during Evan Almighty. Even if you're not into the movie, you could have used that time to watch that movie from every single seat in that theater.
What a wasted opportunity.
And you could have done a nice calf blast workout, all the standing and sitting. Oh my God.
What a wasted opportunity.
I'm going to grab another phone call here. Hello?
Well, your topic about doing things alone?
Yeah, having an entire thing to yourself.
So I was at Parliament Hill with my best friend who's in a wheelchair, and we wanted to go up into the clock tower. And they said, you're not allowed to because of the fire restrictions. There's only the elevator. So you can't be up there with in your wheelchair, because if we have to evacuate, we have to carry you down the stairs. So you have to pick someone who could carry you down the stairs, and then the two of you will go up by yourselves because it's a fire risk. So we had the entire clock tower to ourselves for half an hour.
Look at that. Okay, that's a good one, too. What's it like up there?
It's beautiful. I've traveled a big chunk of the world, and I have to say that Canada's capital city is amongst the most beautiful cities I've ever been in.
Now, are you still working in aviation?
I left aviation, I went to oil field, and now I'm in industrial.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, a guy that works in aviation, at some point in your career, you must have had a passenger jet to yourself.
I've had cargo airplanes all to myself, like where there's no one else on it but me.
Oh, that would be creepy because there's no windows either.
And it's like being in a house of horrors because there's just stuff hanging all over you. It's actually pretty neat.
And it'd be noisy, too.
Yeah, it's really cool.
If there's one thing I learned from that documentary, Castaway. The inside of a cargo jet is a noisy, creepy place to be.
Yeah, there's always things being held by cargo nets for some reason.
Yeah.
You sit in one chair alone. The creaking and groaning, though, would get to me. I wouldn't like that.
Yeah. Can we all admit, too, like if there was a... In the rich history of Hollywood cinema where they portray plane crashes, that's the best plane crash ever in a movie, isn't it? Where he's going down in that FedEx cargo jet into the ocean.
Oh.
It's terrifying. And it goes on forever.
It does.
Do you really think you'd be able to scramble about inside a cargo jet that is nosediving into the ocean?
No.
No, I don't think you could.
I think for a lot of reasons, you wouldn't be doing a lot of moving.
No.
There was one place you thought you were special because you were there alone. And it turns out a lot of people have actually had that, including me.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. We both got our bubble burst, didn't we? Because it happened both you and me on separate occasions.
Mm.
The Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going into the trophy room and being the only person in there.
Yeah. I got the same thing. I went there on a Sunday morning. I was the first person in line. And the security, so after I paid my admission, the security guard walked over to me and he goes, hey, you should go straight to the trophy room. Nobody ever goes to the trophy room right away. You'll have the whole place to yourself. So I had it for like 10 minutes. There was nobody. It's just me. I mean, you probably went and looked at the Stanley Cup, but I went and looked at my favorite trophy, the Lady Byng.
Mm.
So it was just me and the Lady Byng trophy for a solid 6 minutes before I wandered over to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I walked in there. It was like a Wednesday afternoon. And I went in there and there was someone else in there, but then they left. And all of a sudden it was just me and a security guard in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
My face pressed right against it. I do remember asking him if I could hold it above my head. There's no one around. Who am I hurting?
Yeah.
He correctly said no. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And then when we talked about this on the radio that day, like probably five other people like, oh yeah, I had the trophy room to myself there too. No big deal. What the hell? How do that many people get the trophy? Is the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto not as popular as we think it would be?
I don't know.
Maybe it's not. Maybe nobody ever goes there.
It is attached to a mall. It's not what you think.
It's just off the food court in a mall, which is weird, in an old bank.
Yeah, the Valport School.
Yeah, I believe the Lady Byng is inside the old bank vault because it's an important trophy. It's for sportsmanship.
For most gentlemanly player.
And the Stanley Cup is in the big room, unprotected.
Yeah, everyone putting their sticky fingers on it.
Yeah. I had the Royal Tyrrell Museum to myself with my kids. We were the first ones there, sauntered through the place without seeing a soul. Whew. Yeah.
That's a place very hard to get alone. I was there a couple years ago, and it was packed.
I've never been.
No?
I've never been there.
It's pretty cool, but then after a while, you're like, you know, all these bones kind of look the same.
And Bryce, dinosaurs weren't real. There's a guy who lives in the sky that made everything. I shouldn't have said that. Can we take that part out?
No.
I should really go there because I dig dinosaurs and they're very, very real.
It's a nice museum.
Mm-hmm. First time I took a greyhound from Edmonton back home, I had the entire bus to myself. That was also the first time I'd bought an adult magazine. I was 17. No shame here. It was a 10-hour bus ride.
Ooh.
By adult magazine, you mean like The Economist or Time or probably Maclean's or something like that?
A Good Housekeeping.
Yeah. Why do you have to look at porn on a bus or a plane? Which is even back in the day when every now and again I would get a, I had a subscription to Maxim for a couple of years for some reason. And then I put that in my backpack before a flight. I'd be too embarrassed to pull that out on a plane. Because if you just glanced quickly at it, you go, that guy's looking at porn.
Yeah, it's very weird. And I feel for the bus driver.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're stuck on a bus with a 17-year-old who's reading Hustlers or something in the back.
Or does he sit in the back or does he sit right behind you because he's lonely and he wants to make conversation?
Oh, that'd be the worst.
Yeah. Hey guys, I worked at a regional airline as a flight attendant in Toronto, and I have had empty planes where we keep the flight deck door open. It's called the cockpit. Where we keep the flight deck door open during the whole flight. The pilots even let me turn a dial that made the plane turn.
What?
Yeah.
Turn a dial to make the plane turn?
Fancy new jets, Bryce. There's no yoke or whatever you call it.
What?
Just little dials.
Oh, my! I feel like my illusions have been shattered. I thought for sure it was like a steering wheel they had, and they were steering that thing, maybe like a captain's wheel on a boat.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that it's a little dial.
Everything's all futuristic in the cockpit, in the flight deck, but yet there's an old school ship's wheel in there. That'd be awesome. It'd be very steampunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's disappointing. I mean, it's cool for the crew to get to turn the dial, but in my head, I liked it better as a wheel.
Did I ever bore you with the story about the one time I got to sit in the cockpit of a commercial jet?
Were you 8 years old?
No, I was a grown man. I was on my way from Vancouver to Denver. And the plane was, there wasn't a lot of people. And first, I did not buy a first class ticket. I was going on a work thing. And they bought me a first class ticket. So I'm sitting up front in this Air Canada jet. Flight attendant comes up to me and she's like, there's nobody else in here. Do you want to sit in the cockpit for the landing in Denver? And I'm like, okay. So they fold down a little seat between the two pilots. They put some headphones on me and I sat right up front. And the most horrifying thing in the world was the guy was making the plane move like we were banking around, and that he was turning a little dial with his hand.
What?
Yes. It was weird. It was an Airbus A320.
I feel like I've been lied to my whole life.
Yeah. That was pre-9/11 too.
God.
Sorry I ruined your childhood.
You're listening to the Lawn Chair Profits with Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly. It's like radio, but on the internet.
I've been thinking for some time about how good I would be as a color commentator. Not because of my knowledge of sports. And really, the only sport I feel like I could do well would be baseball.
Because yeah. Those guys just sound bored. Like, are they into their jobs at all? Even the play-by-play, the action is unfolding so slowly that you have all the time in the world to tell people what's going on.
Yeah, they start talking about other things.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like, yeah, I was driving my car and I was cut off by a guy on the freeway on my way. Ooh, that pitch was low and outside. And they'll just casually throw in the odd baseball reference while
there's
telling stories.
There's more talk about stuff outside of the game than there's talk of the game.
I left the thing on my door in my hotel room to get my room clean, but the maid never showed up in time. And ooh, that pitch high and inside. Like, I feel like I could do that.
Yeah. I couldn't do hockey, though. It's too fast.
It's too fast. And yeah. You really do, as a color commentator, you have to know a lot about what's going on in the game. You have to dissect the ins and outs. Why did they make that pass? Why was that a penalty? Why was this a bad goal, a good goal?
Well, you know what? Maybe my barbecue apron thing could be, I could talk about that during a baseball game because it'd be very easy. I'm thinking about getting a barbecue apron, probably one of those leather ones. Full count.
Yeah, just throw in the odd baseball thing and you're good.
Yeah.
In hockey, you have to know a little more. We have Louis DeBrusque on the phone. He played, I think, just over 400 NHL games, known as a fighter.
Is it improper to refer to them as goons?
I think it's a term of endearment.
Enforcer?
He was a goon.
He was a goon.
He was the muscle.
Yeah.
He was the muscle for the Oilers and
Chicago Blackhawks,
Tampa Bay Lightning,
and Phoenix Coyotes.
That's right. And so he now does the color commentary for the Oiler games on Sportsnet. And with the playoffs now underway in the NHL, I thought, what better time to talk to Louis DeBrusque? But instead of talk about the Oilers and whatever's going on with them, what about life as a color commentator in the NHL? You're a guy who likes to fight. So when a game is getting chippy and physical and there's massive hits, How do you contain yourself and not just swear like a sailor?
It's gotten easier, I think, with time. I'm not going to sugarcoat the fact that when I first got out of the game, the way you look at the game and the way you approach it were a little different than I approach the game now. No question about it. When you're fresh out of the game, those emotions are still high, and I think you get wrapped up in those emotions more. But I've always been kind of a player, and I'm now a broadcaster that really does ride the emotion of the game. We talk about the fans in the building and the fact that it affects the players. It affects us too as the broadcasters. It really does. There's no question. It's you can feel it. You don't feel that energy in the building. You don't feel the noise. You don't hear the noise, obviously. I know that we've put artificial noise in there to just make it to have some semblance of what it's usually like, but. I can remember coming out, and I'll just give you a story. I remember coming out for my first playoff experience in Edmonton, the old Coliseum, and, coming out on the ice for warm-up. And, for me, that was, my first year in the league. I only played 25 games. We were in the playoffs, and then we missed the playoffs for 4 years, and we got back into the playoffs my last year as an Oiler. And that was my first taste of playoff experience. And I remember stepping on the ice, and you couldn't even hear yourself think on the ice. You couldn't hear yourself think because the fans they had already filled the stadium, the Coliseum, sorry. And it was, it was just so loud there. You had to scream at the player next to you in the warm-up. I'll never forget that feeling. The hair on the back of my neck still stands up when I think about it because it was just a different atmosphere. But that energy is contagious. It really is. That energy just flows through you. You feel it. You want to go out there. You want to do your best. You have energy from it. You can really draw energy from the energy that's in the building. And that's been missed all year long, and that's what the players talk about. They've done a great job to manufacture that energy on themselves. But, for us, it's the same thing. You have to always be aware that you have to try and be upbeat. You have to try and pump in some of that energy because it's just been different. It just hasn't been the same.
I wonder, too, like you've kind of talked about it a little bit, about just, how quiet that building is. And we get a sense of that watching it on TV, but we do have that crowd noise that they pump into it. But you don't hear that in the arena, do you? Like, for you, just being there in person, is it just like whisper quiet? Like, can you hear all the players talking and exchanging pleasantries from where you're standing?
No, you can hear it. And we typically have our headsets on for most of it too. So, it's in our headsets. We're hearing the music play. We're hearing, if we go to commercial, there's always something kind of in your headset to kind of, I don't want to say help you along. That is just the telecast. That's just kind of what we're doing, right? But where it is quiet is before the game. Where it is quiet when you go in there an hour and a half before the game, you're doing their notes. Yeah, sometimes there's music playing, sometimes there's not. When there's not music playing, it gets really quiet. There's a lot of rehearsals that go on. You'll see things on the big screen, but it's a real odd, bizarre feeling, I got to tell you, especially when we did games remote this year where, Jack and I would just go into the building and we'd sit in our broadcast position. We'd be the only ones in the building. With the staff that were doing the game with us that night, it was surreal. It was just odd, just looking around and just seeing nobody. And we're looking right down at the ice and the lights are on. I still shake my head because it's just such a unique and different situation. But you know what? Like everybody else on this planet right now, you continue just to do what you do and you continue to just kind of try and take strides forward and keep moving. And you know what? These are the hands we've been dealt right now, and you just have to play those hands to the best of your capability, just like any walk of life right now. So that's kind of how we looked at it, to be honest with you. It sucks. I'm not going to lie. I don't think you can sugarcoat that, but that's just the reality of it. But it's a much more enjoyable place when it's full and packed with screaming fans that are excited to see their team play.
It's so funny you bring that up, because that was one of those things when the season first started. And, the teams are starting to play their first road games. And the Oilers are in Montreal. And then they cut to you guys and you're standing in Rogers Place. And you're like, what is going on here? So you were basically doing the commentary for a game, watching it on screens, on TV?
Yep.
Man, that's weird.
Yeah. 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 It's been done for years in Olympics. It's been done for years in different sporting events and, different situations. Obviously with travel restrictions this year and just with the uncertainty of traveling, it was the easiest, number one, and the safest way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, safe being probably first and foremost on the list, and then the easiest way to do it. Is it perfect? No, but I got to take my hat off. I think people did a tremendous job behind the scenes to, you know, I had a lot of friends that didn't even know that I wasn't on the road. You know, they were like, how did you get home so fast from Montreal? I'm like, what are you talking about? We did the game from here. It's just the reality of our new reality. That's just what it is.
And Louis, one last thing I want to talk to you, because you're in a unique position where obviously you're going to be watching the Oilers and Jets insanely closely. You're part of that broadcast team, but you also have your eye on the Bruins and Capitals series because your son plays for the Bruins. And, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that somehow in these playoffs, the Oilers and Bruins could meet up at some point. And how do you keep it objective at that point when your son's on one side, but you have to play it cool and just treat him like another player?
Yeah, you know, it's unique. I've called some games with my son in them, and there's no question it's unique, and it's impossible not to catch yourself watching your kid a little bit. I've been in some amazing situations where I've been able to watch my kid in an NHL game from up close and personal. I guess it'd be no different than, you know, Adam Lowry, who plays for the Jets, his dad Dave's on the bench this year, and they have a real good relationship, and it's one of those things where it works. You know what? It just works. You know, he understands it no different than when it was minor hockey, when I was on the bench or I was on the ice with the kids. And, you know, you're not giving your kid, if anything, it's not preferable treatment. It's usually you're harder on your own kid more than anything, because I used to have a running thing with the other coaches saying, listen, if I want to say something to my kid, I'll get you to say it, and I'll do vice versa with you, so they'll listen to me more than you maybe right now. Because at that age, it was always anything your dad said was always usually giving you trouble or you know, negative, if you want to look at it. They perceived it as negative, so a lot of times it didn't resonate with them. It usually did later on. And that's something I found out was that later on. But, you know, for me, it's the best of both worlds. If it ever does get to a situation where it's Edmonton, Boston in a series, that means both teams are doing really, really well. So that's okay with me. And if that bridge comes, then I'll cross it when it does. But, you know, I think it's an amazing opportunity for me to be in a very unique situation with a son that plays still, and for me to be able to call games. It's been pretty cool so far.
Hard gig being a color commentator, but I respect the guys for doing it.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. The travel would kill me.
It must be weird for him. I just think about that all the time. Like, what if he's calling games where his son is playing?
Oh, yeah, his son plays for Boston.
Yeah, Jake DeBrusk. And, like, he has to break down a play where maybe his son got a bonehead penalty. Like, that Jake DeBrusk took a real loser penalty.
Yeah, how'd that guy even make the league?
I think about that all the time.
If you ever want, you know what you should do? Look up sometime, Louis DeBrusk reduced to tears on YouTube. It's him sitting in the stands with his family watching his son score his first NHL goal. He gets pretty choked up.
Yeah.
There's some tears coming out of that goon's face.
Thanks for listening to the Lawn Chair Profits with Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly. Theme by Garner Andrews. Guests of the Lawn Chair Profits drink tap water. Mmm, tasty.